This morning's second public reading comes from the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 20. So Christ has been crucified, and now come the events that would follow, taking him down from the cross. And again, it was needful for them to get him in the tomb before sunset, because that would begin the first day of the seven-day feast of unleavened bread, and that would start that first day, which was a high Sabbath. Not the weekly, but a high Sabbath, much different. So the week that Jesus died, there were two Sabbaths. The regular weekly Sabbath, okay, which ran all throughout the year. But there were certain holidays where no work was to be done. There was to be a solemn gathering of the saints back then to hear the scriptures read and expounded. Well, the first and the last day of these seven-day feasts, those 2 days, were called a high Sabbath. And so most people don't realize that when Jesus died that week, there were two Sabbaths. They had to get him into the tomb before sundown, because that would begin Thursday, the first day of unleavened bread. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. So she gets there before even dawn. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, that would be John, and saith unto them, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, John, and came to the sepulchre. We know that is John, because when you read the other synoptics, John is identified as the one with Peter. Okay? So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre. The implication is John probably was younger than Peter, and he was faster in his run. He, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying, yet went not in. So John gets as far as the entrance to the tomb, stoops down, and he looks where the body that they laid 72 hours earlier, you know, wrapped in linen, the women came in order to anoint the body to preserve it from rotting sooner. Their concern was, who's going to roll back the stone? The guys are not with us. They're fearful. We got these soldiers. Again, they're thinking ahead. Who's going to roll the stone? Well, when they get there, the soldiers are gone because of the earthquake and the angelic visitation, and they ran for the hills. And the angel rolled back the stone. So when they got there, the stone was already rolled back. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre. Peter goes in. John did not, and seeth the linen cloths lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Christians read that, and they don't catch the message. This napkin that was over Jesus' face, Jesus just didn't take it and simply toss it. He folded it. And that was a sign, I'm coming back. You're going to see me. That was a sign. Peter recognized that sign of the folded napkin. Then went also the other disciple, so John finally moseys in, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. That doesn't mean that John got saved then. His faith was restored. For as yet they knew not the scriptures, that he must rise again from the dead. That shows you that the disciples, even up to the cross, did not fully comprehend what was going on. Remember the two guys in Luke 24, the two that were on the road to Emmaus, and Jesus comes alongside, and they're down, and they're discouraged, and Jesus asks them, why the long faces? All of our hopes and dreams were dashed. We thought that Jesus was the Messiah and he was going to set up the kingdom of David. John believed. Believed what? Not a Davidic kingdom brought back to life, but the resurrection of Christ from the dead. But Mary stood out at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher. So Mary's with them. Then see it two angels in white sitting, one at the head and other at the feet, where the body of Jesus was laid. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. So Mary's thinking someone stole the body. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Remember how Jesus kept his identity cloaked with the two men? At this point, he's cloaking his identity. Notice how he removes the cloak. Jesus saith unto him, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom do you seek? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, she thinks the gardener stole him, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him. Watch. And something should click in your heads. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. What does Jesus teach us in John 10? My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And I know my sheep by name. Bingo. Take that John 10 and you bring it right here. How did Jesus identify himself? He didn't say, look at the prince. I got the smile Jesus button on me. No. Mary. He spoke her name. And that little lamb, Mary, recognized the voice of her master. Are you ready? He who has an ear, let him hear. Wow. See what people are missing when they don't look at the Bible just a wee bit closer? Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she has seen the Lord, and he has spoken these things unto her. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. Wow. Let's go ahead and turn to that John 10. Let's go ahead and take time. We got a few seconds here. Turn to John 10, where Jesus portrays himself as that good shepherd. The good shepherd of the flock. Okay? Look at verse 11. John 10, 11. You may want to scratch that in the margin there in that John 19 reading. Oh, beloved, this is simply a gold mine. Ready? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. John 10, 11. But he that is a hireling, think of all the pastors who simply get behind a pulpit because the paycheck and the bennies are good. And not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf cometh and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling is there only for a paycheck and the benefits. But when things go rough, He simply what? He simply bolts, and he leaves that congregation hanging. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and have known the mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, that's you. Them also I must bring. Ooh. Not I hope, not if they cooperate. And they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Whew. Remember Jesus standing outside the tomb of Lazarus? That was a grave, cemetery. If Jesus simply said, "Come forth," everybody in that cemetery would have popped out of their tomb. "Lazarus, come forth," shepherd calling the sheep. That little wee man, Jesus didn't say, "Hey, shorty, come down. Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm going to your home today." You see the connection? Jesus knows his sheep by name. How about this one? Acts 9. "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Sir, who are you?" "Jesus of Nazareth, whom you persecute." Paul was persecuting people, but in Jesus' eyes, Paul was persecuting the king. And Paul dropped to his knees. "Lord, what will you have me to do?" Transformed in the blink of an eye. Jesus calls his sheep by name. And when you were drawn to him on the day of your salvation, he uttered your name, and God the Holy Spirit brought you to him, and he saved you out of love and by pure grace. Notice how much people are missing when they don't sit under any ministry that takes the time to break the bread of life and show these little vignettes, these diamonds and emeralds. And notice, beloved, we didn't need Greek or Hebrew here. These pearls and emeralds are sitting right on the surface, right there. Yes, you have to dig a bit somewhere else, maybe. But notice, all these gems are right there for the, they're there for the picking. Christians today are so distracted. They're missing the gold mine. They're missing the emeralds. They're missing the rubies that are right on the surface for the pickings at no charge. Well, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.